This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
New York, what's good?
So I said I would start with, what was the moment when you fell in love with NFTs?
It was a beautiful evening. No. I always talk about Aaron Battalion and Kevin Rose when I talk about origins for me because they were instrumental. Aaron Battalion was the former CTO of Living Social, a Groupon competitor in the 2007-08 era, great technologist. And he made me, at South by Southwest, we used to do something called the jam session, and about midnight every night, we would get a group of 10, 15, 20 people together, and we would just talk about the space until 3, 4, 5 into the morning. And it was where I learned so much in 2006, 7, 8, 9 from the people that went on to build some of the most significant startups and platforms. And we would always talk Web 2, social, and then in 15, they started talking about Bitcoin, and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? I really struggled with the concept and was just listening, and it was probably the longest 2 hours because I didn't say a word. I was just absorbing. And it was the following year where Aaron told me about Ethereum.
And this was what, in 2010?
No, this was maybe 15 or 16, right. I'm not sure. But Ethereum immediately clicked for me as a platform and developers build on top of it. I was also thinking a ton at the time about the Apple platform versus Android, open, closed. Wait, is Apple like Microsoft now and Android? I was just thinking about those kind of things. So the Ethereum thing really hit. A year later, I saw CryptoKitties, but I'm talk about a miss. I saw it. I went to kind of go deep into it. Whatever happened, a meeting, something silly, got diverted and never really got to go deep into it, but was aware of it and was like, oh, that's cool. Like, will people collect digital things? I was infatuated with Farmville, the fact that people were buying virtual sheep to have clout. You know, when I see all the Bored Ape stuff now, I'm like, that used to be a fucking sheep, right? And Zay Frank, if you remember, who was really one of the pioneers of video blogging, even before I did Wine Library TV, he sold virtual little duckies under his video if you wanted to support his show. So it was always kind of there. Gaming was obvious to me.
So you missed CryptoKitties, but...
I missed it, but I was aware there was something, which I know I'm going long-winded, but I want to give you the context. This summer, Fred Wilson emailed me and he's like, you need to meet this kid, Roham. You're big into the sports card thing. He's doing something interesting. And I met with Roham through virtual and he broke down NBA Top Shot and I was infatuated. I thought it was so cool. I thought we were ready. Roblox, Minecraft.
So it was Top Shot that was that moment?
Nope. Once again, I fucked up. it was May, June. And I was navigating VaynerMedia and VaynerX. We're a big company. We were deep in COVID. Most of our clients weren't paying on time. And we were in this weird spot where we weren't small enough or big enough to get any government funding. So I was really fucking navigating some choppy ass waters. So I just couldn't give it the energy because I had responsibility. So then Top Shot goes bananas in the fall. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm watching it, but I'm still navigating the year. And I said to myself, something's happening. I'm gonna, in December, when I have those 2 weeks off, when I can come up for air, I'm gonna dig in deep. And that's what I tend to do during my holidays. Like, I decompress by just consuming something I don't know much about.
So this was December last year.
Yes, so in December, and I get really excited, I'm really digging deep, and then Kevin Rose and I are talking, and he's thanking me because I got him to buy some Jordan rookies at a really low price, and we're talking collectibles, and he's like showing me his X-Men comic books on Zoom, and we're really nerding it the fuck out. And then he goes, do you have a punk? And I'm like, what's a punk? and he dropped 3 minutes on CryptoPunks. I had to run because the family or something, and then that night started a 45 to 75 hour journey over a 1 week period where I consumed everything about CryptoPunks, and by mid-January I decided that I was gonna buy a lot of them.
But what was it about CryptoPunks that sort of made you wanna be so obsessive that you just jumped in?
At that point, because of what I was already doing, I had felt we were close to the time. You know, my career, winelibrary.com in 96, so, you know, what I did in social in 05, 06, my career is what I'm doing right now with VR. I watch from very far away, and then when I think they're ready to jump in a year, in 2 years, in 18 months, in 9 months, when it's on the pre-dawn of the moment, that's when I jump. Hmm. And I think that's what I'm good at.
So you felt December last year was the pre-dawn?
Yes. Hmm. I felt that 2021 was going to be a year.
And then you went all in?
All in.
I have never seen any technology so rapidly adopted.
There's a reason. There's money and greed involved.
Hmm.
And that's a problem.
But don't you think it's... That might be one.
That's why it's happening, Jody. But that's okay if we collectively understand it, right? We have to understand that there's amazing things going on here, but let there be no confusion. 90% of the people currently in our space are in the business of day trading NFTs to make a bag. Hmm. And that's okay, but we have to understand it. It's also dangerous. We have to understand it. This happened with internet stocks in 95. This is what happens. There was something called gold. That's what we did. It was called the gold rush. Like, this happens in the macro. This is the most interesting technology shift since the internet decided to go social.
I think there's been pent-up demand rather than necessarily greed to actually own your own content. And it may be that your friends are the ones who are the day traders, but my friends... I think there's a broader community that actually wants to see something about themselves in their NFTs or collect.
100%. That's why it's going to be phenomenal. It's creative. It's bringing a lot of us back to a creative place that we gave up at 7, 9, 12, 13. There's incredible nirvana in this moment. What the energy I'm bringing is, let's not be hypocrites. I'm sitting at dinners and meetings and watching conversations and discords of, we're the anti-establishment, we're this, we're that, but then what they're really saying is, I'm gonna mint this and flip it. Yeah. And so what we have to be collectively aware of is, if we don't go through this moment with eyes wide open, let me tell you how this always plays out when we don't go in with eyes wide open. It becomes oversaturated, it becomes too... The conversations around money. There's tons of conversation around art. There's even more conversation around the money. Hmm. And money scares me because people make bad decisions.
Yeah, it scares me too.
And I'm watching. The thing I do for a living is I watch. You know, I talk a lot, so I confuse people because it always seems like I'm talking because I talk a lot and I pump out a lot of content. But the reality is 90% of my day is watching. And I'm watching and people are very clever, and some people are not clever, but it all is going around the same thing. This reminds me a lot of Web 2 on the great things. Mm. Take control of our own, all the stuff, you know, Web 2 started off very Nirvana too.
But it didn't work out that way.
Of course it did. I love how everyone's like, social media is so bad. I'm like, you mean you liked the alternative of mainstream media? You mean the media communication infrastructure that led to the most fascism, dictatorship, and wars? Let's not get confused right now. I understand the current conversation is to razz social, but this concept that the media that used to be controlled by 49 people was so much better, I think we're a little bit lacking thoughtfulness to the conversation.
Well, let me put it differently though, which is, we have, as consumers, we have jumped on many trends, you know, microcomputers, Apple, various brands, mobile telephony, Nokia, BlackBerry, and then more recently social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Google. And every time as consumers we've jumped in with both feet, someone else has ended up controlling what we're doing. What I love about where we are now, apart from the money-making part, is
true.
That it's actually decentralized.
It's not decentralized.
I think it is.
No, it's really not. Let's talk about why. The technology's decentralized. Is anybody watching what's going on? The humans become the centralization.
But that moves, because the centralization is moving because the technology allows the centralization to move.
Until we take accountability for our own actions, we will blame platforms and people. Mm. Guys, gals, this is an important conversation. Everyone's like, this is awesome, it's decentralization. I spent 13 hours discovering an artist named Sarah in Texas that I like, and just literally say, ooh, I like this art. And then I get 400 DMs saying, you're the centralization now, you motherfucker. Okay, then I, like, what, like, this thought, the biggest issue that leads to unhappiness and anxiety in society is the decision that somebody else controls you. Like, what are you gonna blame when it becomes decentralized? Other humans? Something else? Like, what are you gonna blame? Like, it's fascinating. Like, you know, there, you were there. Social was competing against Rupert Murdoch and two other people, and read like three old white dudes that controlled all our thoughts. Social. Now it's like, this fucking algorithm makes me a racist. Fuck you. You're a racist. Facebook made zero people racist. Facebook exposed the racists. So I'm not confused what the current conversation is. I'm very happy that everyone's excited to blame Twitter and Facebook. And I'll be here in 10 years sitting here and you'll be blaming centralization allowed humans to have too much control. Because they're blaming Elon, Jody.
Say again?
They're blaming Elon.
No, yes, no one would blame Elon.
Of course they're blaming Elon. Pumped it up, pumped it down. Guys, you know what's decentralized? When you have enough self-esteem to think for yourself. That's decentralized. This is gonna play out very, very simply. It's going to become decentralized technology. There's gonna be, governments are gonna fight for centralization.
I don't know how, I think you've sort of manipulated the argument. I think we were going was the value creation in social networks is centralized,
and the value creation in the NFT space is
decentralized.
It just wasn't. This thought that Facebook Inc. and Twitter and everybody else got all the value, what about the 8 trillion fucking influencers that had no audience, that paid nothing to get attention in return and make millions and millions of dollars? What about that, Jody? Like, this thought that they kept all the economic, like, it's absurd. It's real. Like, this is.
Oh, you're talking about the influencers on social who make money out of having lots of followers.
You mean the people that paid nothing for the attention in a world where you pay for attention? Yes, I'm talking about that.
Hmm.
It's a very important conversation.
It's a great conversation.
Right, because pre-social media, if you wanted attention, I did this for my dad's business. I had to pay $80,000 to a newspaper to get a full-page ad. Then I just made a YouTube video. Like, there's a trade there.
But don't you think one of the craziest things in the history of marketing is that CMOs of brands paid to have people follow their Facebook page, and then they paid Facebook?
Of big companies don't know what's going on in the reality of the current marketplace. I
think the CMO brands now have an opportunity to have their own NFT marketplaces with their own fans.
As they should. And I can't wait for
it. But on their own platforms. Not deep inside Facebook.
Jody, I can't wait. I'm here for it.
I love your work.
I love you too. Like, I'm here for it. But I think the energy I'm bringing this morning is, let's have 360 conversations. Like, 360 conversations are healthy. Mm. Like, pay attention to what's happening. Here's a good one in NFT land. The community's gonna drive it. Let's talk about that.
This is the community, by the way.
This is a great community. This is the community. Let's talk about what's happening in our space. Mm. Let's go into the details. Gary, this project, you know, this porcupine with fucking a clown nose, right? This project's gonna work not because of the founders, but because of the communities. So I sit and think about that, right? So, Jody, do you know how many Bulls, Chicago Bulls fans there were in my New Jersey high school in 1992?
Say again. What?
How many? I know you're an Aussie. How many?
I'm not. I'm a New Yorker.
I know you're a New Yorker.
I told you I was a New Yorker.
You're for 40 seconds. Jody, listen. How many Chicago Bulls fans were in my New Jersey high school in 1992?
Tell me.
Half the fucking school.
Wow.
Because Michael Jordan was doing his thing and everybody in the community was wearing Bulls swag. How many Bulls fans are in my high school in New Jersey right now, Jody? Zero. The community is all for it because their money's tied up in it. But if the founders of the project can't navigate it to success, the fans aren't going to show up to the stadium. Hmm. We have to be very thoughtful about this. There's just a lot of things happen. Listen, Jody, you were there in 05, 06, 07 when I was coming up.
Yeah, we both joined Twitter the same.
That's right.
Month, yeah.
You recall like that there was all those combos, and I think the reason I get to be here today is because I've navigated those 15 years a specific way. And for me, when I sit, my obligation when I do an interview like this is I'm gonna give everybody here my best stuff. They're gonna do whatever they can do with it. I could be wrong, I've been wrong before, I could be right. But what I'm watching is what I saw in 06 and 07, which is the conversation's one dimensional. And if you peel the layer off, an unfortunate amount of it is really about short-term economics. And I think that for us to achieve what we all probably subconsciously and consciously want, we need to level up the convo of what's happening here. And there's a lot happening here and a lot of good. But we also have to watch out for some of the things that are brewing.
So just zooming out to 35,000 feet, what industries do you think are going to be disrupted by NFTs over the next 12 months?
Over the next 12 months? I mean, to be frank, I don't really think about it in that terms. I'll tell you why. If you asked me that question in 1995 about the internet, I wouldn't have known that Jeff Bezos' talent was going to be deployed against bookstores. I wouldn't have known that, right? I wouldn't have known that some guy whose wife was a Pez collector was going to build eBay. But I knew in 1995, if I was sitting here as a 20-year-old, I would have said all of them. And that's what I felt about social, and that's what I know is happening right here, right now. Every business is gonna be affected by what we're talking about right now. I just don't know what gal in Tennessee has an idea right now and is gonna start something that's gonna go after this, or what person in, you know, Harlem is gonna go after transportation. But what I can tell you is there won't be an industry not addressed, affected, changed, impacted by the infrastructure of decentralized servers with a platform, whether it's Sol or Cardano or ETH, with apps being built on top of it at scale, it's gonna fucking change the world, and it's gonna change in a big fucking way.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to you on behalf of the community, because many people say to me from outside this community, why have NFTs been so successful? And I say three things to them. One of the smartest marketing programs, campaigns I've ever seen, for $69 million, everyone in the world was talking about the sale of the Beeple artwork.
Correct.
That was amazing.
That's one moment.
That's one. People staying at home using Clubhouse, because Clubhouse was, and not in this order, by the way, and then the last thing is you, because you have done so much for this community in being so passionate about it. So big thank you.
It's very nice. Everybody, it's really why I want to talk. You know, it's funny, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a businessman. I want to go to a garage sale and buy something for a dollar, for $5. It doesn't mean I don't understand what's happening in the macro that I want everybody to be more thoughtful about. And more importantly, the thing we have to watch out for is the hypocrisy. Like, if the bigger danger is the way we're talking about it, but then really it's about, can I flip this for 5X, right? Like, we have to be very conscious about this, because here's what's likely gonna happen if we stay this way. If we stay this way, then what's gonna really happen is we're gonna have a massive crash, because there's too much supply, demand won't catch up. People are moving around communities. I'm incredibly worried about people betting money they can't afford. You know, if you look at Wall Street, when people bet money they can't afford and they lose it all, it leads to suicide. Is our space ready for somebody to commit suicide because they got a rug pull? Right? Like, there's a lot here.
See, I'm really surprised how much you're focusing on the flipping part, because I see so many people in the broader community who, you know, they want to have a CryptoPunk because they might think it looks like them or their wife or someone. In fact, we have someone talking later today about that. And it's tribal. It's tribal. I don't think it's just about the flipping.
Listen, I appreciate that. And I, what I'm trying to do here in the limited time is bring a conversation to the forefront that I think could add, because I'm buying everything that I think we're all buying, right? There's so much, there's so much excitement. I don't think that many people are buying a $500,000 CryptoPunk because it looks like them.
Well, wait till you hear who said that. Wait till you hear there's someone talking today about why they did that.
But I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, I think people...
Well, but CryptoPunk was a placeholder for art, you know, and for things, for collections.
Look, this has been the greatest thing that has happened to the independent artist in a long time, and I'm fucking here for it because I love all of you.
Amen. Amen.
One. Two, there is just the thing I loved about 06 to 09, the friendships that you're all about to make with each other. Like, please, 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 whenever there's, I don't know what the programming looks like here, but if you go out for a few minutes, please, some people are more introverted, I get that, but for people that are a little bit more introverted, things of that nature, this is exactly the community at this moment where everybody is as excited for you to come and say hello to them as they are to you. This is literally your best friend, your business partner, somebody you might marry is literally sitting in here right now. And I know this because I saw it in the last two waves. Please push yourself to say hello to a stranger when you guys have breaks.
Totally.
Please.
Totally. I wish we had longer.
We're done?
Yeah.
I think
David's on soon. What about a couple of questions from the audience and then we'll move on? Yeah. I can't see very well, but who wants to ask a question? Okay, what about here? I might have to relay. If you tell me, I'll tell everyone.
Hey guys, I'm Luke from the UK. Nice to meet you all.
Luke! Luke!
Gary, I'd like a bit of advice for us younger guys, especially. You talk about sort of in the 90s, Web 2.0 gray, financial crisis, things like that. For me, I'm trying to learn from other people's experience, and I'm worried about the impact of what happens when we see another thing like this. So it's all good in the short term, like everything's awesome right now, but what about when there's the next crash or anything? Like, what have you learned from that?
We learn to save money. Like, it's really good to have savings when shit hits the fan. That's it. That, and the point I'm trying to make, I believe the singular reason that I've been financially successful is because I don't care about financial success. Like, find your process, find your thing, live within your means. You know, this goes back to a lot of the things I'm thinking about. When people do things for other people's affirmation, it makes them incredibly emotionally vulnerable. So that we're in a very special time here. Find the thing that makes you happy to be doing it, not because of any other part. And so if you can find something you love, when shit hits the fan, you're not gonna be looking for the next trend. You're gonna be chilling here for another 2, 3, 4 years, waiting for it to flip back up. That's a beautiful feeling. It's fun to be in the shit when it's the shit that you like being in.
Hey Gary, my name is Buddy.
Nice to meet you.
And I'm here because of you. I'm watching your Discord, watching VFriends. I do want to give a shout out to that piano player who was playing earlier.
Was crushing it.
Yeah. That's what I do, I'm a musician.
Amazing.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the space for musicians and also creatives who are in the screenwriting and movie industries.
I think movies and albums will be funded through NFT projects. I think it's so black and white. I think there's a couple of hurdles we have to get over, but here is the music industry. In 2021, 2022, you put music out for free on SoundCloud, you get viral on TikTok, You've built the audience. This is what the record label used to have to do for you. You built the audience, right? You made the music. Now you've got some leverage in 2022. There's no A&R like it used to be. There's no building it up. Now labels are swooping in. You've already got a community. You've already got a brand. They can see that you have 2.7 million followers on TikTok. Now they're signing you to give you an upfront bag, right? To then keep 80% of the action after they pay back 100% of the cost they sunk in. That's a bad deal.
I don't know anyone in my industry who's like, I'll take that.
I know tons of people that do it. You know why? Because they come with a $3 million or $500,000 or $4 million upfront bag, and that's game-changing for them in that moment, especially when a lot of the musicians come up and don't have anywhere close to that kind of money, and they know they're making a deal that isn't phenomenal, but they can't offset how impactful that short-term dollars is, and that's okay. I think the 2024 version of it is you build on SoundCloud, you build on TikTok, or whatever SoundCloud and TikTok are of 2024, and then you make a project where your album art represents royalties, you keep 80%, and your original fans who fuck with you heavy buy 20%, and then God willing, you become Nirvana. And could you imagine buying NFTs of Nirvana's first album and getting, could you imagine waking up every morning and getting streaming revenue because you fucked with Nirvana in 1991? There will be people, I got laughed at when I wrote Crush It about people are gonna make money on YouTube and live their life. Go read the first reviews of it on Amazon of Crush It. This fucking, yeah, we are gonna make money on YouTube, right? Like, it was absurd. There are gonna be an enormous amount of people that retire because they bought 10 NFTs from an artist they believed in, that artist hit, and they're getting pennies on the dollar of every play. You know, sure, you might get 1 cent for every time it plays. Guess what happens when it gets played 47,000 times a day? Shit fucking adds up. I think the audience, the fan, the early, and you know what's funny about the music industry? Early fans usually get pissed when their artists get big. They're like, oh, now they fucking sold out. I used to go and I could fucking, now they're in this fucking state. They get mad. Now they're gonna get rich.
What's your name?
Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Gary. Question, obviously, Jody mentioned about the importance of this theatre today, which gave me goosebumps for women. Everybody here, how can we make a concerted effort to get more women, which will ultimately be our next generation, or the girls in the space? Because at the moment, there is a distinct lack of women, and I'm definitely here to support the women getting in this space.
So I have some tremendous news. Watch this. If you're a woman, please stand up. Vicky, and some women in here might have been there. Vicky, the 2006 Web 2.0 version of this conference had a hell of a lot less women.
Yeah.
This is what I keep saying about the world. We're incredibly good about pointing out what sucks about the world, but we don't have a good perspective of taking a step back and realizing how many good things are going on, right? And so the only thing anybody can do is take on personal responsibility. There's nothing else. You know that. We can pontificate, you can scold people, you can motivate people. It's a single person game. Right? The way we can get more people, and by the way, there's the woman factor in this space. I'm actually, you know, very, you know, and you know my mom's my hero and I pay attention to these things. Like, I'm actually pretty optimistic. I think black and other minorities, I think we have a lot of work to do, and that's what I've been spending a lot of time on. But you can only do what you can do, right? As you know, I am more aware of my platform. So what have I been doing? I've been spending a fuckload of hours putting in the work to find female artists that I believe in, and I've been more active in promoting those projects. That's what I decided to do. But what we can do is what we can do. Telling people to do things has never worked in the history of time, and we're in a place now where when we do, people actually push harder the other way. What we need to do is, if you care about it, guys and girls, if you care about it, you have to put in work for it. You need to put in work for it. if you care about this issue, support a female artist, right? Bring in a female. Who runs Vayner NFT? Avery. You do your actions. You can't tell people to do shit. They're gonna run the other way.
Is Avery here? Avery here? You guys will get to meet Avery. She's gonna be one of our MCs. So thank you. I think we have time for one more question. I think we have to have a woman after that, another one.
Well, Vicky was a woman, Jody.
I said another.
fair enough. I just love him, razzing.
Are you still grumpy with me about the flipping thing?
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
My name is Emily, and I'm holding V Friends.
Thank you. Who's holding V Friends? Thank you.
So my question is similar to her as well. I'm originally from Japan. I've been in the States for almost 10 years. I came here when I was 18 years old, and I'm a little bit shy type of person, but you told me that, like, pushing myself to say hi or asking questions, so here I am.
Good for you.
And I'm working for a company where helps, I'm working for his company where helps Japanese international students. And like, we're actually want this NFT communities into like collaboration with NFT possibilities in the future, especially for Japan, because Japan is, I think Asian country, especially Japan, is the most conservative country. And there are people who are really afraid to go outside of their comfort zone. And I know you are talking a lot of marketing stuff and in the world trending, but sometimes you say, except Japan. So what do you think?
Only except Japan, because Line is a dominant social network. It's not about the culture. I mean, as a matter of fact, when you look at Japanese influence on IP, I think Japan is
it's going to be an incredibly
natural place where a lot of NFT activity is going to happen.
Yeah.
When you think about Pokemon, Hello Kitty, Babe, like, I'm actually quite bullish on Japan as a country and an ecosystem in being a player in this space over the next decade.
Yeah. So what do you suggest that what do you suggest for, like, you know, for Japan to be?
I think Japan's gonna do what they did in the 80s, 90s, and 2000, which is, I don't think anybody here is confused, whether it's Transformers or other things I mentioned. Japan, I actually think, is the originator of a ton of influential IP and brands, and like in street culture and things of that nature. I think Japan's gonna moonwalk to being a factor in this space over the next decade.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.